Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, and YouTube thanks to the law offices of Amanda Gentry. It is a Reaction Monday powered by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling and by Focus. That's right, the sparkling water with a spark. Drink Focus, P-H-O-C-U-S.com. And again, I've got my Focus. Caroline just tried her first Focus. By the way, I went to Publix today. And I bought the Focus. The manager, or one of the workers at Publix, when I walked in, you have to wear a mask in Publix. And I was like, hey, can I get a mask? Because I just didn't have one with me.
Right.
And he was like, yeah. He's like, you're who I think you are. I was like, yeah.
I am Derrick Henry.
And he, yeah. And he showed me right to the Focus, but he told me that I look like I lost some weight. So I was like, oh, that's good. That's
good. You look great.
Because I definitely have not. So that's.
Because you've been focused.
I've been focused. So, anywho. I think what's funny is that a lot of times in life, like, name brand is a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, name brand. Like, when I
reputation
tell you.
Reputation for a brand.
When I look at the rest of the Titans schedule, and I tell you that outside of the Rams, they don't have a single good team left, you would be like, is that true? And then you would pull up their schedule and you say, well, the Steelers, the Patriots,
the Saints,
like, those are good teams. Tom Brady's not New England. Drew Brees isn't in New Orleans. And Pittsburgh's a shell of themselves. Now, maybe they can win, but they're not good teams. The team you beat Monday night, that's a good team. The team you're going to play in 2 weeks, the Rams, that's a good team. The team you lost to week one, that's a good team. So, name brand means a lot. Especially like college football, right? Like, these people will beat Texas, and they'll storm the field even though Texas has stunk for 15 years. Or however long it's been since Vince Young was there. Like, but yet, it's still Texas. I mean, it's like a radio station that once was a really good sports station, and then they lost all their good people, and now they're just not that good anymore. And sometimes some people think they're good, and most people know they're probably not. And what happens is over time, and I think in all the instances I just showed you, time will show that you realize they're not very good. And I look at the Chiefs yesterday, and we had the discussion on Friday. And I was talking to my buddies at the game, and I said this yesterday where I was like, on Friday, we did a segment about whether or not the Chiefs were good, and it was kind of like a made-for-radio segment of like, so are the Chiefs good? I mean, on one hand, they're the two-time defending AFC champions. Mm-hmm. For 3 years, they've dominated this conference. They've got Patrick Mahomes, who may end up in the Hall of Fame, and on the other hand, they're 3-3. And Ian and I both said that we think they're going to win the division on Friday, and... Well, now we've seen the Chiefs. Like, intimately, we've seen the Chiefs. Are the Chiefs any good? And I'm going to vote no.
And it's puzzling, right? A team with probably the best quarterback in the league. You can make the argument one of the best quarterbacks in the league in Patrick Mahomes. You have Tyreek Hill. You have Travis Kelce, who's probably the best tight end in the league. You have Tyrann Mathieu, you have a Pro Bowl defensive back. Why aren't they good? They have the pieces of being a good team. There are so many core parts of that team that remain from the 2019 Super Bowl win and the 2020 Super Bowl run.
Why are the Georgia Bulldogs and the Alabama Crimson Tide the best team in the SEC almost every year?
Because they have a really good defense.
And they got big boys on that line every year. And they are not starting for the most part. Every now and then they'll move a guy in there. They're not starting true freshmen on the offensive line. Jeremy Pruitt actually recruited some pretty decent offensive linemen.
Mm-hmm.
He started them right away. Well, you're not going to be a great offensive line that way. It takes time on the offensive line. You know, you've got to be in that room. It takes time for that line to gel. It takes time. And I'm convinced that on the lines, the Chiefs aren't very good. Now, they got Chris Jones back, and you would think that ultimately that's going to be a big deal. But I think it's the lines. I think it's the not sexy element. It's like, well, I mean, they got all these great players, Hill and Kelce and Mahomes and this one and that
Patrick Mahomes can't throw at Travis Kelce if he's on the ground.
The line. And it's chemistry. It's not that these guys on the line for the Chiefs are no good. Joe Thuney is like a $14 million guard. Orlando Brown Jr. is like an $18 million tackle. We all know Trey Smith is a bad boy at right guard as long as those blood clots don't become an issue. But they got to gel. It takes time. And with him, he's got to trust the line, just like he's got to trust his receivers. And I don't think he trusts the line. And so I think he's staring at the rush because he doesn't trust the line. And you're getting through because the line hasn't gelled because they had to scrap their entire line a year ago. And it takes time. But I do wonder this. Do we knock the enormity of the Titans' win because the Chiefs aren't that good? And I'm going to say no. And I'm going to use two examples for this. By the time the season is over, I assume that the Seahawks win will not look very good. Yeah, you went to Seattle, but Seattle's going to finish 9-8 or 8-9 or 7-10 or whatever. Seattle's going to miss the playoffs for the first time, and I can't remember how long it's been since they haven't been in the playoffs. And people will say, what's wrong with Pete Carroll, and what's wrong, and Russell was hurting. But when you went to Seattle, they were the defending NFC West champs. They had Russell Wilson as their starting quarterback. It was the first game in Seattle with full fans in a year and a half.
Which is a very menacing environment.
And you went in there and beat them, fair and square. And so I look at the Seattle win still as a good win, even though when Geno Smith keeps losing games for them, and that defense is obviously not very good, but when Geno Smith keeps losing games for them, it'll look worse and worse and worse over time. I don't know if the Chiefs are going to make the playoffs. I had somebody text me today who said, I don't know if you guys are going to look at this, but look at the Chiefs. They currently have a 1-4 AFC record, and they have games left with Green Bay. Two times they play the Raiders, Dallas, at the Chargers, at Cincinnati, and Pittsburgh. That's a lot of games. That's a lot of games. Mm-hmm. They've already got four losses. Let's say they lose to Dallas.
Yeah, it kind of feels like a given at this point.
Green Bay.
Yeah.
One to the Raiders. So now you're at seven losses for the Chiefs. And at the Chargers, you're 9-8. I don't think 9-8 is going to get you into the playoffs when you lose all those AFC games. So, and they won't have any tiebreakers because they lost to the Ravens.
The Bills, the Ravens, the Titans.
The Titans, they've lost to the Chargers.
If they lose to the Chargers.
And,
or they already lost to the Chargers.
And because, I don't know. But me personally, I don't think I take away from the importance of the Titans' win, especially because it was so dominant. I don't think I take away from it yesterday that, well, you know, Kansas City's not very good. I don't think I detract the Titans' win a little bit because when that game got kicked off, Kansas City thought they were going to win that game, and Kansas City thought they were going to circle the wagons, and Kansas City thought that they were going to be back in the AFC playoff picture and eventually back in the top four seeds and back in the divisional round and back in the title game and back in the Super Bowl. When they woke up yesterday morning at whatever hotel they stayed at, they woke up on those pillows and they thought they were going to the Super Bowl. Now I think there's serious doubt there where they've lost to all of the top teams that they played in the AFC. They still haven't played the Bengals yet. They still haven't played the Packers. They still haven't played the Cowboys. And now they know every game that they play the rest of the way is going to have to be a dogfight. In 2016, the Titans beat the Packers. And I said this at the top of the show, that I thought this was the most dominant win over a true contender since the Titans went to Carolina and won in 2003. And somebody said to me, what about Green Bay in 2016? Green Bay was horrible when the Titans played them in 2016. Aaron Rodgers held a press conference after they lost, I think, the next week. And Aaron said, we have to run the table, and we're going to. And then they did run the table, and they won like seven in a row, and they finished 10-6 and made the playoffs. And maybe Kansas City does that this year. I doubt it. But at the point that you played the Packers, they weren't very good. So it wasn't like you looked at them as a Super Bowl contender when you beat them. I didn't think the win over the Patriots 2 years ago, 3 years ago, was as dominant as this win was. That's why I look at this win as, wow, this was truly dominant over a team that everybody in the country, as of noon yesterday, thought was a contender. So I'm not taken away from the win, but I do wonder if the Chiefs are any good.
Well, I don't take away from the win for a few reasons similar to yours, and that we entered this game still thinking that the Kansas City Chiefs had a shot at the playoffs. We expected that they were going to make the playoffs. I thought they were going to be second in the West behind the Chargers. You and Ian both thought they were going to win the division.
I thought they were going to win the division.
We thought they were still going to be a dominant team in the postseason. So now, all of a sudden, now that the Titans blew them out of the water, I'm not just going to say, oh, well, they suck, so it doesn't really mean anything. Same reason why the loss to the Arizona Cardinals, I'm not just writing off because the Arizona Cardinals are heads and shoulders better above what we thought they were going to be, because the Titans still didn't play well. So even though I expected the Titans to beat the Cardinals are way better than we expected them to be. That's still a bad loss in my mind, because in my mind, they were still not going to be a very good team. Also, this wasn't just like just a slim win. This wasn't a call that went in the Titans' favor. I don't think that the Kansas City Chiefs are anywhere close to where they were in 2019 and 2020, but the Titans made them look bad, and they capitalized on the mistakes that the Kansas City Chiefs made. So this wasn't just a game that the Kansas City Chiefs put on a silver platter and gave to the Tennessee Titans. The Titans put some pressure on Patrick Mahomes. The Titans took advantage of their turnovers. The Titans very much so won that game, and it wasn't just because the Chiefs are bad. It's because they capitalized on how
some of it is because the Chiefs suck.
Like it wasn't that, just that because Chiefs, the Chiefs suck.
That Chiefs defense is terrible.
It's bad.
I mean, it's not just bad. It's like, it is really, truly, it's worse than the Titans defense was last year. By every metric, it is worse than the Titans defense. Like, the Chiefs do suck. I mean, like, they may go on to be a good team.
But I don't think that's the only reason why the Titans
the
won.
The Chiefs,
that game.
They are, and I don't think that either. But what the Chiefs are right now, like, they suck. Like, I don't know who needs to hear this. The Chiefs suck. Like, they're awful right now, but I still don't take away from the win.
No,
because I think, you know, Kansas City knew that they needed to get their act in order, and they came in here and got dominated, and I think that it was kind of a realization for them that they may not be as good as they think they are. But when the ball got kicked off, they did think they were that good. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. We will get back to your phones because, of course, it is a Reaction Monday powered by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling and by Focus. And it is a Titans Monday. 615-737-1025. I do have some beef that I do want to get to at some point that does bother me about yesterday's game. The one thing that finally it just snapped me. And it's going to be one of these like long Stillman crazy rants, but we'll get to your phones next. 615-737-1025. Plus, the one difference between your two Chief wins and why this one, I think, needs to be circled a little bit more. We'll get to that next right here on Stillman and Company. Let me tell everybody out there about the fact that Preds fans, join us for Smashville Live this Wednesday. The show will air on Wednesdays during the Preds season from 6 to 7 and feature players, former players, and other special guests. You can watch the show via 1025 The Game's Twitch, Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. Be sure to join us this hockey season for Smashville Live. Stillman and Company, it's ESPN 1025 The Game.
How much will these two wins go as far as showing this team was capable of doing them? And it sounds like a lot of guys are saying, hey, even though we've been this good, we haven't done anything yet. What's the balance like and feeling good about yourselves, but don't get too excited?
Yeah, definitely two tough teams who's been a force, you know, in the AFC for a couple of years now. And, you know, just enjoy these wins, but take it week by week. Don't get too overwhelmed on what's going on. Trust and believe in what we do, and then get ready to come back to work and get better.
You know what's funny is when everybody else talks about the win, you know, hey, we haven't done anything yet. They're not handing out the Super Bowl trophy. They're not. I feel like everybody's trying to, like, suppress their own excitement.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he is. I think, like, that's just how he answers questions. Like, yeah.
I mean, Derrick Henry is pretty, you know, same even level tone no matter what he's talking about.
Well, like, when I talk about these other guys, like, yeah, you beat the Bills and the Chiefs. Now you have the Colts get back to work. Like, it is very much a cliche to say, hey, in the NFL, you got to get back to work and you never know and you got to take every. But it's, like, really easy. Like, I'm like this way. If I lose weight, then I tell myself, like, even though I try not to, like, I'm like, you know, I can go ahead and do this right here.
I can reward myself.
If I step on a scale and it's a little too heavy, I'm like, nope, uh-uh. Like, not doing that crazy stuff.
Back to work.
I think that's how NFL teams are, like the mediocre ones, where they know in their head, hey, we got to get back to work and we got to do this. But they just kind of know, like, yeah, you know, there's not a lot of urgency, you know, for this tomorrow. Whereas I think, like, with Derrick Henry, it's like back to work. It's like, all right, I just ran for 300 yards on Alabama on Missouri, and now I'm playing Mississippi State, so it's time for me to go run for another 300 yards. Back to work. So I'm not worried about him. The other guys, maybe so. So the Titans have now won three of their last four matchups with the Chiefs. They beat them in the playoffs in Arrowhead, Mike Mularkey's last win. They then beat them here at Nissan Stadium in 2019. Tannehill led a comeback. And they beat them yesterday. They lost, obviously, in the AFC title game. But I think there's one big difference about this Titans win than those three. And I don't know what you want to make of it, but the big difference to me is that the Titans not only controlled this game, and in all three of those games, they didn't, but that there was not one fluky element of yesterday's game. Like, there wasn't some weird, other than maybe the David Long interception where he turned around, hit the ball in the air, and Rashawn Evans dove for it and intercepted it, but Kansas City probably would have punted and you would have had the ball around there anyways. There wasn't some weird, wild, crazy, kooky play. When the Titans went into Arrowhead and won a playoff game in 2017, Marcus Mariota on fourth down threw a touchdown pass to himself. That had been done, I think, the last time in a regular season game, like 20 years earlier, and I'm not sure that had ever been done in a playoff game, that a quarterback threw a touchdown pass to themselves. That was a weird, fluky game. Travis Kelce was annihilating the Titans, and he got concussed right before the half, and it totally changed the game. When you played the Chiefs in 2019 and beat them, you had a Damian Williams fumble returned by Rashawn Evans for a touchdown. You had two botched field goals that came out of nowhere at the end of the game that Kansas City couldn't connect on that would have won them the game. This, you took the opening drive, went down the field, scored a touchdown. And you can't call like a Derrick Henry pop pass a fluke because that's a play. Like, you called that play. You go down the field, you beat them. They get the ball back, you strip sack them. You get the ball, you move down the field, A.J. Brown touchdown. You get the ball back, you move down the field. Like, there was nothing fluky about yesterday's game. Now, you can make of that what you want. That in the last four matchups, you've won three of them. Two of them, you required an absolute fluke or a handful of flukes in order to find a way to barely win those games. Yesterday, you didn't need any of that. You can decide the reason why. But to me, that's the big difference between this game and the other ones where you've beaten them, where you come out of that game and it's like, yeah, but. Here, the only but might be that Kansas City's not very good. But the Chargers didn't beat them this bad. And the Ravens didn't beat them this bad. The Ravens beat them by a point. Buffalo did beat them this bad. That's my biggest takeaway is that, I mean, you really didn't leave any doubt yesterday. I mean, you really showed them. But again, you can come up with the why for that.
Well, yeah, and I always use the argument of, okay, if they play this game 10 times, how many times do they win it? Mm-hmm. And we said earlier in the show, the Titans play this game 10 times, they win it 8 or 9 times based off of how they played yesterday. Just Probably. How dominant they were, the momentum that they had at the very beginning of the game that just continued to build and to build and to build throughout the game. Now, that Bills game, the Titans and Bills play it 10 times. I mean, it could be a 50-50 split down the middle. Because
Do you think it's a 50-50 split down the middle?
Maybe not. It could be in the Bills' favor.
What do you think? 10 times Titans-Bills. How many times do the Titans win?
Maybe 4 or 5.
Ian, how many times did the Titans win against the Bills?
I'd say 4 is about right.
I'd go with about 3. I mean, I think that the Bills are... I mean,
the Bills are the real deal. The Bills are a great team.
Better team.
And it came down to, you know, a goal line stand. So, to that, I mean, the Titans won that game fair and square, very obviously. But, like, using that same argument, like, you cannot argue that the Kansas City Chiefs got snubbed or it was a bad call or whatever it may be. You know, it could have come down to, you know, a fourth down goal line stand, whatever it may be. I mean, the Titans won that game.
There's also another theory here that no one's touched on, that there was not a major injury for the opponent in these games. Chris Jones played yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Frank Clark played yesterday. Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill all played yesterday. Josh Allen played.
Stephon Diggs played.
Cole Beasley played. Tre'Davious White played. They all played. And in the last 2 weeks, you know, when you beat Buffalo last year, Tre'Davious White didn't play. When you beat Kansas City 2 years ago, Chris Jones didn't play. They all played. And I think that's probably another big factor surrounding this game.
Off the top of my head, none of those players that we just listed were coming off of injuries either.
Jones. Chris Jones, I think, made his season debut.
So Chris Jones.
But yes.
But I don't think that it would have been a healthy Chris Jones away from the Chiefs winning that game.
I mean, a healthy Chris Jones does a lot of things. I mean, Chris Jones, if there was an AFC Championship Game MVP award like there is in baseball, the NLCS MVP, Chris Jones may have won that award that day. I mean, he was a total monster. Let's get back to your phone. 615-737-1025. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. What do we have in there?
One texter texts into the text line and says, should we talk about how much Kansas City was overrated going into this week? 3-3 going in, they were overvalued.
Didn't we just talk about that for 30 minutes?
Well, I think we talked about how we now know that the Chiefs aren't as good as we may have played them out to be. So, yeah, I guess, you know, they were overvalued going into this game.
I mean, see, this is the thing that pisses me off about sports talk radio. And I think it honestly drives me insane about sports media in general, which is everybody is so afraid to have been wrong. And I never worry about that. Like, I never, like, if I truly believe something, I mean, like, really believe it, and I'm wrong about it, I'll tell you. I'll say, hey, I didn't think the Predators in 2017 were going to beat the Chicago Blackhawks. Couldn't believe that they swept them. I will be the first person to tell you, if John Hines turns the Predators around and they go to the Cup final this year, I'll be the first person to say, I didn't see that coming. But I feel like in sports media, we wait until somebody is like down, and then we say, well, they were down. We should have known that they were. It's like, no. We talked on Friday. Were the Chiefs a good team? That was an hour-long topic on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
We took calls. We took texts. We all gave our opinions. And Ian and I both thought the Chiefs were going to win the division, the AFC West, on Friday. So this idea of like, well, you know, do we need to take in consideration whether or not Kansas City? We just did 30 minutes talking about that, and we said no. Because Kansas City just won a game last week, 31-13. And I told you when I watched that game, I didn't think Kansas City looked all that good.
I think the Washington football team is just that bad.
I think there's a lot of truth to that. I mean, I told you the line, I said there's like a chemistry issue with the line. I told TD last week when he was on the show,
mm-hmm.
There's a chemistry issue with the line and the quarterback. And now it's obvious to me. But this idea of like, well, you know, we shouldn't talk about this Chiefs win because on Friday, on Saturday, on the pregame show Sunday morning, we all thought, hey, you know, these are the Chiefs. And I'm going to say one other thing about the Chiefs. If they backdoor their way into the playoffs, I think the Titans right now have a realistic shot at being the number two or three seed in the AFC. One is going to be hard. And it's going to be hard for a couple of reasons. Buffalo doesn't play anybody good the rest of the way. I think they have one game against a team with a winning record the rest of the way. So Buffalo's probably going to stack a bunch of these wins. And again, it's a lot of Dolphins, Patriots, Jets, and you're going to win all those games. But if you're the two seed, you get the seventh seed in the AFC. I don't want to see that team in the seventh game. I do not want wild card weekend in Nashville and that guy at quarterback to come back in here. Because I know he can play. I much rather see Derek Carr in the Raiders. I much rather see Big Ben in the Steelers. I much rather see those two teams than see Patrick Mahomes show back up here. And I say that right now in this sitting where I don't think the Chiefs are very good. I thought they sucked yesterday. I think their defense is atrocious. I think they got offensive line issues. But if they say they sweep the Raiders and they steal the game against the Bengals, which that is a hot take. They steal the game against the Bengals. They win a game here or there. They finish 10-7, and they sneak their way into the playoffs. And here you are at 14-3 or 13-4, and all of a sudden you get Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs in the first round of the playoffs, count me out. No thank you, I'm playing the Chiefs again. So maybe we're not undervaluing them. Or maybe we're overvaluing them now.
Or, I mean, I think that we have a fair assessment of the Chiefs right now. They're not as good, nearly as good as we thought they were going to be coming into the season, but they still have Patrick Mahomes. They still have Travis Kelce. They still have Tyreek Hill. So I'm not counting out the fact that this Chiefs team could turn things around in the middle of the season. Not counting that out at all. But I do think there is something to say that they weren't able to turn things around against the Titans.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. There was another element about yesterday's game that the Titans proved to us, or that I saw out of the Titans, that is different from the games that even when they won, we had some reservations about, like the Colts win, the Jacksonville win, even maybe some issues with the Bills win, that we saw yesterday that I'm trying to figure out what exactly it is, but we'll get to that coming up next. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Who loves a good night's sleep? I love a good night's sleep. That's why I love my Boll & Branch sheets. That's right. You would think, like, how important are sheets to a guy like me or you? And the answer is a lot. They are very important. Why? Because getting a good night's sleep is always atop the list. I got my Boll & Branch sheets a couple of weeks ago, and ever since I've been using them, I am so glad every time I get underneath the covers. That's right. If you dream of a comfortable sheet at a price that won't keep you up all night, look no further than Boll & Branch. I absolutely love the fact that when I sleep on these Boll & Branch satin sheets, that I know I'm getting a good night's sleep. I'm not going to wake up irritated or with a rash or anything crazy like that. The sheets are just so comfortable. I love the comfort, the sustainability, and the quality, and they're all at a fair price. Their signature hymn sheets from Boll & Branch are a bestseller, and that is for a reason. They're made to a higher standard where 100% of the cotton is organic, ethical production, and thoughtful attention in every detail. Experience the best sheets you've ever felt at BollAndBranch.com. Get 20% off your first set of sheets when you use the promo code Jared at checkout. That's Boll & Branch, B-O-L-L-A-N-D, branch.com, promo code Jared.
What does it mean for you guys on offense to see the defense play that way against an offense that talented?
It was huge, man. It was a lot of fun. I was loving watching those guys play. You know, they're flying around, seeing Harold bend on the edge, Bud's on the other side. They're meeting at the QB, you know. David's flying around, making tackles all over the place. Secondary's covering. You know, they have a lot of firepower on the other side, and we covered them and made it hard on them today. So, you know, as an offensive guy, when you're seeing your own defense play like that, it's a lot of fun. You know, they're getting turnovers, giving us the ball back. It was huge the way they played today.
There you go. That was Ryan Tannehill. Defense did play well against Kansas City's offense. I thought defense, very impressive performance. The heat meter on Shane Bowen, definitely down a little bit compared to what I thought it was going to be coming into these two games.
Uh-huh.
Definitely down a little bit. But I do have a thought about the Titans' wins this season. They've beaten the Seahawks. Mm-hmm. They've beaten the Colts. They've beaten the Bills. They've beaten the Jags. And now they've beaten the Chiefs. Mm-hmm. In the Colts, Jags, and Bills games, I needed more from Ryan Tannehill. Like, in all three of those games, I felt like Tannehill did not play up to his standards. And in the Bills game, you can tell me that he was 9-for-9 in the second half. I'll argue that was set up because Buffalo didn't want to give up another 76-yard run to Derrick Henry. And if it wasn't for Derrick Henry, there wouldn't have been a need for 9-of-9 in the second half. Mm-hmm. So this is all about, you know, the 9-of-9 is, it's like a cherry pick stat to me. The Seahawk game, other than the fumble that led to a Seahawk touchdown, I thought Tannehill was excellent in the Seahawks game. And I know he didn't throw for a touchdown. I thought he threw one to Julio Jones and got taken off the board. But I thought he was excellent in the game. AJ dropped the ball on him. Whatever. I did not like what I saw from him in the Colts game. I did not like what I saw from him in the Jags game. Outside of his interception, which drove me crazy. Outside of his interception, I thought Tannehill was excellent yesterday. Now, I think they've got to figure out what the why is on that. you know, that Tannehill played so well in this game and played so well in the fourth quarter of the Bills game and played so well in the Seahawks game. And other than that, has not played up to the standard that he had set before. I think that's a big question about why. Because his performance yesterday doesn't wipe everything away that we've seen so far this season. But Ryan Tannehill out through Patrick Mahomes yesterday, 270 to 206. His average yards per attempt or average yards per completion were almost double Mahomes, 10 to 5.9. Now, he did have the interception, and his rating was 105, which was still good. But I keep thinking about yesterday's game, and I remember an old Jared the GM topic 2 years ago, which was, could Tannehill outthrow Mahomes? And Floyd laughed and said no. And he would not hear of the possibility of Tannehill outthrowing Mahomes. In that game, Tannehill threw 181, Mahomes threw 446. In this game, Tannehill 270, Mahomes 206. So something is up right there. And I wonder if AJ being back in the lineup is the difference in good Tannehill versus bad Tannehill. Or not good enough Tannehill. I shouldn't say bad Tannehill. Not good enough Tannehill. Is having AJ and Derek the key there? Was Kansas City's defense just so bad there? Has the team gelled there? Like, I wonder kind of what the missing link was. Because, again, outside of that interception, which I'm not going to let go, because it drove me bananas. Because against good teams, those interceptions can't happen. Tannehill was awesome yesterday. Awesome yesterday.
Tannehill was outstanding yesterday.
Awesome.
But if you look at that interception, you could tell he was getting nervous because he was blitzed. He was getting pressured. And I think that's where the root of a lot of Tannehill's issues come from, is when he's pressured, when he stays in the pocket too long, when he holds on to the ball too long, which we mentioned the Jets game very much so could have been because there was no A.J. Brown. He had no reliable receiver to throw to.
Yep.
So he held on to the ball longer, looking for just someone that he could reliably throw the ball to. But that interception yesterday, the only blemish on his report card from the Kansas City game was that interception because he was getting pressure.
And here's what I hate about the interception. You're up 27-3.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I thought the game was pretty much over at that point.
Yeah.
But I know if you score a touchdown, like if you score a touchdown and you go up 34-3, the game is over. The Atlanta Falcons were not even up that much in the Super Bowl. The game is over if you score a touchdown there. But even if you kick a field goal and you make it 30-3, that's still better than that Falcon 28-3 mess.
But 27-3 with the momentum and the way that things were going with Kansas City at that point.
Third and two at the Kansas City 19. Take the sack! Like, I mean, this is the thing that kills me about Tannehill. And I love the attitude, and there are some times where you can't take a sack. You're at the 38-yard line. You need a field goal to tie or a field goal to win. You cannot take the sack. Third and two at the 19. They call a blitz. You don't pick it up. Get down on the ground and let them just kind of jump on you a little bit. Don't take that pop. But, I mean, he is so afraid of the sack sometimes that these pants-crapping interceptions, which is what they are, I don't know.
Total freakout. I mean, it went right into the hands of the Chiefs defender.
This is a weekly occurrence with him. This is a weekly occurrence of him where he's afraid of the sack and he throws a ball he shouldn't throw. I can remember one last season that he threw like that. They were playing the Ravens and somebody, I think it was McNichols, didn't pick up the blitzer. Tyus Bowser blitzed and he threw it right over the middle and Patrick Queen intercepted it. And that was like, dude, you can't panic. But that happened once. This happens like once a game with Tannehill. That's my one beef with Tannehill yesterday. Other than that, Tannehill was awesome. And so now you got to figure out what the why is there. Because we learned last year that when a team is fully committed to stopping Derrick Henry, which Kansas City was, that's why I'm not mad. Derek had 80-plus yards. Good for Derek.
But still, that's like for any other running back, that's a pretty solid day. 80-something yards. It's just not a Derrick Henry 150-yard day.
A running back from the Bears named Herbert, I've never heard of, had more rushing yards than Derrick Henry yesterday.
Okay, but like,
I have never heard of this Herbert. I don't even know where he went to college. But you're
but
right.
If you look right. at a running back, 86 yards, okay, it's not a career day, but it's not a day that you're like, oh, we should go shopping for a new one.
But, I mean, like, I thought Derek, when they're going to fully commit to stopping Derrick Henry, there has to be somebody to beat him on the other side. And Tannehill did it yesterday. But when you get in the playoffs, like that Ravens team last year, they're better. Can you do that when that happens? Against a better defense. And I don't know about that. We're to your phones next. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Again, it is a Reaction Monday. Reaction Monday powered by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling and Focus. You see right here, if you're watching the stream, I have my Focus right here. Caroline had her first Focus earlier today. She said she really, really liked it. Which
big
is
fan.
Good.
It is very good.
Which is good. Powered by Focus, sparkling water with a spark. Let me tell everybody out there to that this Wednesday is your chance to participate in the Nashville SC Pick to Click brought to you by Camarena Tequila. If you guess correctly which player scores a goal in the game on Wednesday, you'll win a pair of tickets to see a Nashville SC game as they take on the New York Red Bull at Nissan Stadium on November 7th. Participate Wednesday morning at 9:45 a.m. Stillman & Company, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game. 102.5 The Game has your chance to win Preds tickets during the month of October. Just post a picture of your radio dial set to 102.5 The Game on social media, Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. Tag the game and use hashtag Ticket Dash to be qualified to win. Show us your dash, brought to you by Social Furniture. Support local, support social. So I did promise phones, and we are to them in a second. We got to talk about the Titans public address announcer for a second.
Yeah, you are worked up about him.
So they've had Mike the Duke Donegan had done it for 20-something years, and it was probably 5 or 6 years too long. You know, when I was a kid and he was doing it, it was fine. You know, at running back from Ohio State, you know, place go nuts. But then he started to sound like Count Chocula there for a while. Or like the Count on Sesame Street. You know, like it just didn't sound right anymore.
That's running
it just
back.
Wasn't, it was more like, you know, one first down, two. You know, like it was, okay, time for a change. So they get some guy. I don't know who this is. I know they made a big deal about their PA announcing search, which I always thought was stupid. Like, I think if you're a PA announcer, you don't want to be like the story. But this guy is terrible. I mean, terrible. Like, first of all, he gives his takes. Like, as he's doing, you know, back deep for the kickoff. Welcome back, everybody. Darrington Evans. Dude, just say, back deep for the Titans. Number 32, Darrington Evans. You don't need to say, welcome back. Then they would hand the ball to Derrick Henry, and he would call him the king.
Oh, that's bad.
And I'm like, do you think at Yankee Stadium back in the day that Bob Shepard used to sit back and say, now batting for the Yankees, the shortstop, number 2, Mr. November, Derek Jeter.
Was he British?
Number 2. No, I can't do Bob
Shepard. That's like kind of like a British Bronx accent.
No, but like there was like a seriousness to it with Bob Shepard.
Mm-hmm.
Like seriousness. And, like, this guy, that, but then that didn't take the game. Like, first of all, and there were, like, a lot of, like, you know, like, some subtles, like, you know, hand off to the king and things like that. And I'm like, what you don't want your public address announcer to do is to piss off the other team.
Yeah.
Like, there is a level of decorum. And I have been to about a billion stadiums in my life. And I'm not saying don't be excited for your team and don't say Titan fans are the best fans and things like that. But, leave the takes at home. Like, you are there to tell us who kicked the ball off, who caught it, who scored it, who tackled it, who whatever.
Can I just say one thing?
Well, before I get the one thing that just takes
the game. You finish up.
The number one no-no that if any of you have a five-year-old who is interested in sports or younger in sports to do is to announce the lower score first. So you will never turn on a game on TV and see, and the final score, the Chicago Bulls 78, the Washington Wizards 92. You just don't do that. Twice yesterday. Twice. He announced the lower score first. It was embarrassing. Like, nobody does that. Like, not seven-year-olds. Like, when I was in school, someone would say that. I'd be like, okay, you know they're not a sports fan. Like, your public address announcer. Oh, dear God. And remember when we kind of told Taylor Lewan, because we didn't hear the public address announcer say that he was re-entering the game, and then we were shocked that he would do that.
Right.
Like, dude, just call the game like every other public address announcer. It's all we're asking for. Like, just get a video game, put the video game in, let the video game play, don't play on either side, and listen to the public address announcer and just call the game. It's 3rd and 8 at the 13-yard line. Great. Hand off to the king. The score, Chiefs 0, Titans 27. What? That's not how you call a score in sports. Back to your phones. No, you said you wanted to say something.
The Titans must have played incredibly well yesterday. If that's the most worked up you've gotten all day today on a Titans Monday, a reaction Monday.
Like the most mad?
The most mad you've gotten is over the PA announcer. The Titans must have had a really wonderful day.
I think it's twofold. Because Ryan Porth just texted me and said the PA guy should be doing high school football. He should be doing junior varsity high school football. I think it's a couple things. Like, the Tannehill interception and the PA announcer were the two things that bothered me about yesterday's game.
That says a lot, though.
Everything else, game was great. I got into the game. I got into the game with 10 minutes on the clock. Like, I walked from rock bottom, across the bridge, into the stadium, up the escalator, to the club level, into my seats, with 10 minutes to go on the clock.
Did you get a pizza?
Excellent. I did not. Mm. Excellent. You know, of how that worked.
Yeah.
But I go back to the, the Tannehill interception and the PA announcer. Like, I don't think the Tannehill interception, me complaining about the Tannehill interception is probably not going to keep Ryan Tannehill in the future from pooping his pants and throwing the ball to the other team, which seems to be a problem. If I could fix one or the other, I would fix the Tannehill interception before the PA announcer.
I would hope so.
The PA announcer thing is just embarrassing. Like, that's embarrassing. Yeah. And if I complain about the fact that this guy gave out the lower score first twice, which is like an absolute no-no. Like, if I can say that, then there's a chance that someone there is going to be like, hey, calm it down. Stop calling the running back the king and just call the game. So that's why I get all worked up. Knowing the Titans, they're probably like, screw Stillman. Tell this guy to be more of a homer and to suck more at giving away the score. But I just thought it was terrible. I know that I say a lot of crazy things and I get really emotional one way or another. But I do think that, like, a bad PA announcer that does stuff like that, like giving the losing score first, I think that is, like, pretty embarrassing. Like, that,
especially when you have such a high volume of fans that are from the opposing team.
Yeah, but not even that. I just think it's so unbecoming. I think it's like if you had a nice steakhouse and you, like, had...
You asked for ketchup.
Speaking of Ryan Porth. You had plastic...
Speaking of Patrick Mahomes.
You had plastic silverware at your high-end steak joint. Like... Wait, this is a high-end steak joint? We got paper plates? Like, come on now. 615-737-1025. I promise phones, we'll get back to them. 615-737-1025. Everybody is happy about the Titans after their performance yesterday. But Stephen A. Smith had a take that we have got to discuss next. Because he might not be as happy as everybody else. That's next. Stillman and Company right here. ESPN 1025 The Game. FanDuel Sportsbook is my official sportsbook app. I absolutely love the FanDuel Sportsbook app. And you will too. Just use the promo code JGM so they know that we sent you. Monday Night Football is tonight. It's the final game of the Week 7 slate. And they want you to get the most out of every play. That's why they're giving everybody a $10 risk-free bet every week. All you have to do is bet a same-game parlay with 3 legs or more. And if your bet doesn't win, FanDuel will pay you back up to $10. Saints and Seahawks tonight, think over in points. I think Jameis Winston over passing yards. And perhaps even a Geno Smith prop might have to be in there somewhere. If you're new to FanDuel Sportsbook, sign up with the promo code JGM to also receive a risk-free bet up to $1,000. That's promo code JGM so they know that I sent you. 21 and older and present in Tennessee. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max refund $10. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Same game parlay available for multiple sports in all states on mobile and web. Gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line. 1-800-889-9789.